This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato. I hit it hard,
man. Well, good Saturday morning, everybody. It's not like last week, Charlie. I mean, we had... What a weekend it was watching those guys tear up. Well, watching Dustin Johnson tear up Augusta National to a record-setting event. This week they're at Sea Island, which is beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but it ain't the Masters. Yeah. I'm surprised though. Like Justin Rose played this week, and there's some good players that are still playing. I would have thought
they have to, because if not, they get behind as you turn the year, and then when the points, you know, start getting, you know, really important.
Yeah.
There's so much competition. So they're playing. It's working out like the tour wanted it.
They're still playing around season.
But I must admit, I didn't watch the Sunday of Augusta.
No, you didn't watch?
No. I had something much more important.
What'd you have?
I had to watch my grandson play golf.
Well, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
So you didn't miss much.
No, I recorded it, and I went to watch it, and it was kind of boring.
No, it really was. I mean, Dustin Johnson just made it very boring. He just didn't miss any. He just is so darn good. I mean, we saw guys that crumbled, right?
Yeah.
I can't believe on Saturday, remember
yes.
John Rahm on 8?
Yes.
He hit a shot like I hit, a worm burner.
Between his legs.
I mean, unbelievable. And then he hits a tree and goes out.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, you're playing like me now.
But, you know, it's not the same without the patrons.
No, it just isn't. It just isn't.
I mean,
doesn't look
the roars,
same.
The commentaries are, Jim Nance is more excited than,
Everything.
So we got to get this COVID out
of
here.
Well, it looks like we've got some vaccines coming, Charlie, so we're going to be good. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, Mario Elie was on one of our local shows here this week, and he was like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, we saw the Lakers win it, but, you know, the Heat, would they have been able to go into Philadelphia? Would they have been able to go into Boston or Milwaukee and win the way that they won? Because you didn't have those fans. You don't have those fans, you know, killing you. And would you have the same? Would you have been able to do the same things? And would it have been the same? You know, Tringali.
Yeah.
Not Tringali, but Dylan Fratelli. Would he have been able to play the same with all those people there?
No.
No. You know. You don't know. So it's crazy. But we got a lot to talk about. Billy Harmon will join us on the other side, right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, well, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, bringing in an old friend in his palatial estate, Palm Springs. Billy Harmon joining us here on the show. What's up, Bill?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Man, we're doing great. How about you? How's California holding up?
Been wonderful. We've got beautiful weather. Our golf courses are opened up. I'm teaching. I'm back working.
Nice.
The only thing I've really figured out is the only good thing about COVID is I found out I like being retired.
That's enjoyable.
But that ain't happening, so I got to go back to work.
Most of the states shut down now, or is it L.A., or what's going on?
I don't know what's going on here. All I know is at the moment I can work, and the golf place is open.
That's it.
Seems to change every day, so I'm just trying to go with the flow, John.
That's it. Well, good for you. Good for you. We were just talking about it. You know, Charlie was watching his grandson play golf on Sunday. He went back to try to watch the Masters, and it was kind of tough to watch, Bill. I mean, there was no intrigue whatsoever. I mean, Dustin just ran away with it so methodically, and so he's so brilliant, so great. Don't get me wrong. What a performance, the greatest ever performance at Augusta National. But it didn't have any intrigue, did it?
Well, when you watched early and the lead got to one after five, you know, you said, okay, we might have a golf tournament. And Charlie knows the sixth hole at Augusta. I don't think the players or the people really know watching, if you're a player, how hard it is to put a ball on that plateau. Mm-hmm. And to do it with the wheels coming off, which was kind of happening with Dustin a little bit, it was really, I thought, a very underrated shot, Charlie. He hit it in there about 8 feet and made the putt for two, and that righted the ship. And he birdied eight, and then it was kind of all over after he got over the water on 12. But I thought that shot was a lot more critical than people thought, because it's very, very easy not to put the ball on that plateau. So, Charlie, that's a very, very difficult shot to that back right pin on 6 of Augusta.
Especially having made bogeys on 4 and 5.
Yeah.
But the third shot on 5 was another incredible shot. To that yeah. pin placement, when he had to get out of that bunker and he had a 9-iron behind the hole, I mean, that was incredible. So, it you know, you can get off to a little shaky start, but you know the, you know, birdies are out there. And the same thing happened to Anka when he won. He bogeyed 4 and 5 also, righted the ship on 7. But Dustin just kind of said, okay, guys, I'm here. I'm not going away, and from then on, he had so many good shots. And I thought the comment from his brother, his caddy, he says, you know, I can give him the wrong yardage and the wrong club, and somehow he's got such a great feel, he'll put that club close to the hole. So he's an incredible talent. I mean, it just goes to show you what he's done is his career, and my hat's off to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Butch told me that he talked to him just about every day after the rounds, and that after Sunday's round, Dustin told him that he only swung hard at 2 drives all day. He was in such control of his swing and the golf ball that he went after it on number 8 because he knew he could carry the bunker and get on in 2, and he went after it on number 18 because he had a 5-shot lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so he was in complete control of everything he was doing, and you know, it was a terrific performance. But I think if you look back on the 3 majors, you know, other than the PGA, because they had great drama from the event, you know, DeChambeau ran away with the Open, Dustin ran away with the Masters, and there was no gallery. So I think the 2 runaway victories probably lost a little bit of mojo. John, you're more into this than us, but, you know, the TV ratings in all sports are just mm-hmm. plummeted to the basement. So mm-hmm. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens if we ever get out of the COVID and see if these sports actually can recover from this.
Yeah, everybody's fun. Playing golf.
Well, that is true.
The
courses are full, that's for sure. You know, it's funny. We all thought, you know, when we saw Tiger and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Phil playing, it was like, oh my goodness! And we couldn't wait to see it. And everybody's watching, and the Last Dance with Michael Jordan is on, and we're like, oh my god, we got to have sports. We got to have sports. And then when sports get here, everybody's like, well, I think I can do without it. I'm okay without it.
Yeah.
I think people have found other things. Like you said, a lot of people. Yeah, golf courses like are killing it.
Yeah.
Just killing it right now.
The weather here in Southwest has been yeah. terrific.
Yep.
And everybody's out on the golf course. But I guess the disappointments in the Masters, there are quite a few. You know, guys just stepping aside. John Rahm hit some shots that just were uncharacteristic of his ability, Bill and John. And
yeah.
And then our good friend Bryson DeChambeau.
He lost to Bernard Langer,
you know,
a 63-year-old.
That's a highlight, what Langer did. But yep. Where do you think Bryson's going to end up, Bill?
Oh, he's an interesting case. I couldn't imagine going into the tournament with a worse plan than he did, you know, coming in as a U.S. Open champion. Everything he did was to bring attention to himself. You know, he's posting his drives from his studio at home, and then how far he was hitting it when he went and played his practice round, and then he's there with 4 or 5 different drivers, and par is 67, and I just wonder what his advisors were thinking. You know, why would you go in and keep making it all about yourself. Why couldn't you come in humbly as a U.S. Open champion and say what a great thrill that was? And oddly enough, I have the only chance maybe in the history of the game to win the Open and then the Masters consecutively, because this is the only time the schedule's ever been kind of like that, right?
Yeah.
Where the Masters follows the U.S. Open. And he came in to me seeking attention.
Yeah.
And, Charlie, you know this. The other players don't care about Bryson DeChambeau. And it doesn't mean they don't like him or they're not intrigued. They don't care because they're trying to beat him, you see. And so there was never any recognition of the other players by him. I thought, you know, we've got a lot of great players in the field. And he's one of those interesting guys that when he gets attention, he doesn't handle it real well.
Yeah.
When things don't go well, when he doesn't get his own way, to me, he acts like a little baby.
Yep. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I know he does. He looks like a little petulant child when things don't go his way. And so he's an enormous talent, and I've said it on the show quite a bit the last few weeks. I have great admiration for what he's doing, pushing the envelope. Great admiration for it. I think it's fantastic. It's interesting. But there's a lot of other good players out there, not just the Bryson DeChambeau show. And I'll tell you another thing, and Charlie might agree or not agree, but if you put Bryson, Rory, Koepka, and DJ in a driving contest, he wouldn't outdrive these guys by 25 or 30 yards in a driving contest. There might be a 10 or 15-yard difference. So he has no advantage, John, over these other long hitters. He has a big advantage over the next tier of hitters. He does not have a big advantage over Dustin Johnson or Rory McIlroy or Brooks Koepka. He does not.
Yep.
Or Justin Thomas.
Well, a couple of
he's got a one club advantage over those guys. So we're so intrigued by his distance and everything. But at the end of the day, the other elite players, we don't know how far they'd hit it if they swung as hard as they could on every try. You know?
That's exactly right. They don't have a violent swing. To watch Dustin on 8. And
how about 18? He hit a sand wedge into the 18, I think, on Sunday. I don't think Bryson's going to go by that 40 yards.
No, but even his swing was under control. Bryson's swing,
of course,
gotten
right. It looks like it. Although he just still hits it straight, it's amazing how hard he swings, and he still can hit it straight. But you say we're intrigued by it. I was watching the maybe Monday or Tuesday on the Golf Channel, and they had Justin Thomas up there. I think it was probably Tuesday, and he was at the podium and taking questions from the media, and he had played with Bryson. There were four or five questions about Bryson DeChambeau to Justin Thomas. And I'm like,
and the players don't like it.
No. It was amazing. To me, he took it a lot better than I would have. I would have said, why don't you guys ask Bryson? Why are you guys asking me about Bryson and how long he is and all these advantages? I'm a pretty good player here, too.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty good player. So can we talk about me instead of Bryson DeChambeau? That'd be great. The other thing, Bill, is, I don't think Brooks Koepka has come back from his comments about, hey, I feel good about myself here. And, and when Dustin Johnson is in the field and he kind of poo-pooed, and I don't say poo-pooed, but he was a little disrespectful. And ever since then, Brooks Koepka has pretty much disappeared, hasn't he?
Yes.
And Dustin Johnson's in the field. And Dustin Johnson's a pretty damn good player, but he only had one major, so... that was, Brooks Koepka kind of was, feeling his oats that week, remember? And he really hasn't bounced back since then.
You know, Bill, I watched...
That's kind of my point, that you should be respectful of these other great players.
Yeah.
I never got that feeling that even DeChambeau was.
Right.
These guys are just going to lay down because he's now in a driving contest in every swing. But I think you're right. Brooks has been injured, but he has not played. He played pretty good at Augusta. In all fairness to John Rahm, too, Charlie, he probably finished in the top five, so it wasn't like he had a terrible tournament. He just hit a couple squirrely shots. But it was the Dustin Johnson show and the Cameron Smith and, to an extent, Abraham Answer. Although he didn't play well on Sunday, he got a taste of what it's like to have a chance to win a major.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Unfortunately, we were kind of reduced to that, looking at it that way the last day, because Dustin was clearly in control of this game.
Answer had himself a hard time. We got to take a break. It's 24 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Charlie, how about your peeps over at Insperity?
You know, John, it's so rewarding. You know, they've been our sponsor since day one. Insperity, the company that inspires business performance. And, you know, if it's starting a new year pretty soon, going through holidays, you want to check your HR, all of the little things that make a business a little difficult where you can't get out and sell and perform. Give Insperity a call and let them come in and tell you what they can do for your business, you know, your health insurance, your all that stuff that they can. They can help with the scales of economy. They put small businesses together, and then they get great prices from healthcare, for example. So many advantages that they can bring to the table to help you grow your business. And I think when they put their name against your name, and the bankers and everybody sees that, they say, "Well, man, we know that this business is going to grow." And that's what we try to do, grow our businesses, and Insperity is be on your side. Log on to Insperity.com or give them a call, and they will come and help.
There it is, Insperity, inspiring business performance. All right, this week, Bill, have you checked in on the RSM Classic?
Well, not much because of the, I guess, the glow of the Masters, yeah. But this story obviously on a personal level is Viegas,
yep,
to me. You know, he lost a child recently. He was a stud there for a while. And another guy that tried to change his swing. He had his own swing before, kind of a self-made player. Tried to change his swing, has fallen totally off the radar in golf. And the tragedy of losing a child. And so to see him back is fantastic. And so to me, he's kind of the story this week, if he could get that win. Nothing against the other players. I mean, everybody has a story and everybody wants to win. But I there's something about guys that have gone to the abyss in any sport or in any form of life, and they bring themselves back. I love a good comeback story, John, and this would be an incredible comeback story.
Well, Zach Johnson is right there with him. He's in seventh position. He lives there at Sea Island. But Zach is another guy, kind of like Jordan Spieth, that he won the British Open, and we haven't heard from him. And he changed his team up. He changed his instructor, and Zach, I always thought was going to be a player for the ages, but.
Who's coaching him now? I thought Mike Bender was it.
I don't know the whole story. I know he changed his caddy and he changed quite a few other things. So
okay,
but yes, Bender was his coach for many years. Maybe he still is, but I don't know why he can't crack into the winner's circle.
Well, what's amazing to me,
maybe because he's the shortest hitter on tour,
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Well, he really is. I mean, maybe doesn't he win the John Deere every year, or what is the one
yeah,
he wins,
he,
or
he
the
won
one
that
the Iowa City, the
years.
Quad Cities? Yes. What does he win every year?
Yeah,
he just got to play there. What's amazing to me, we got Jason Day out there, we got Justin Rose out there,
yep,
we've got Kevin Kisner. We still got some names out there. Yep. I wonder if. Now, it's a weird year, obviously, what with the Masters being played in the fall. But I wonder if this wraparound year now is going to attract some of the better golfers.
Well, sure, and you got the Europeans over here, too, you know, with Fleetwood. And the race to the end, you got to start sprinting earlier before they take the last 2 months of December.
You think that'll be the case? Because, yeah, remember who was it? It was Koepka. He didn't have any FedEx points,
right.
And it was in May, yeah. April and May, and he had nothing, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they're going to have to be playing in this wraparound.
And that's what the PGA Tour wanted. I mean, they've got what, how many tournaments they have this year? 40 some odd events. And
some unbelievable amount.
Yeah, and so the players are being forced to play more. I mean, there's still another tournament after this when they're going down to Mexico, the Maracaibo. So there's plenty of opportunity, a lot of money out there, Bill. I mean, guys are filling their pockets.
Fleetwood and Rose have kind of dropped off, I'd say, in the last year. Mm-hmm. So they were perennial contenders, especially in majors. And, you know, both of them had perfect-looking swings and everything. And they, Justin Rose, since he changed club companies, which he's now back to maybe what he used to use.
Yes.
Boy, he fell right off the map. He changed coaches, got rid of Sean Foley. I think the Hamna Irons, and boy, you just sometimes wonder how much money is enough, Charlie, when they start changing equipment after they've won all these tournaments with the same equipment. I remember that Jay Haas once said that there's only one thing that makes pro golfers feel good, and that's playing good. And you can take the big money deal, but you miss three straight cuts, you're sitting in your hotel room in Kankakee, Illinois or something.
Yeah.
And you're not thinking about that contract. You're thinking about, how am I going to get my game back? So it's always interesting, the cash grab, John, when these guys burn themselves out playing overseas. I get it. I'd probably do exactly the same thing, but it isn't always what it appears to be.
How much of it is that, and how much of it is, well, I'm winning, but I'm not winning. I'm not getting my majors. I'm not winning as often as I think I can win. I need to make a change just to get better, as opposed to having that patience and saying, those wins will come.
Jackie Burke always says, you know, those wins will find you. You got to stay the course. And Zach Johnson changed equipment. He went from Titleist to PXG, Bill, so that's probably in that equation also. But, yeah, stay in the course. But as we see today, the kids that are coming out are really taking the spots of the old timers.
That's true.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys up on the leaderboard that you said, who's this guy? And Hunter Mahan and Jason Duffner, Luke Donald, those guys are, you know.
But even guys like Henrik Stenson, who was so good, you know, we don't hear much about him anymore. There's a lot of Kuchar is still good, but seems to be maybe taking a step backwards. He's not a very long hitter. You alluded to Jason Day. I'm looking at some of the guys on the leaderboard. Charles Howell, good player. But there's a new wave coming in here. And the old-timers, it's tough, you know, and especially with these kids that bomb it, boy. It's hard when they're hitting a wedge and you're hitting a 7-iron. You do that for 72 holes. That's a big difference. You know, and now they're good wedge players. So it's interesting. I think we're seeing slowly but surely, we're seeing a kind of a change of guard of what I call the second-tier players.
Right.
He takes Stenson after he won the British Open from Mickelson. I think that kind of really, he was so relieved to have his major. He's so relieved to have the British or the Open Championship that he said he just lost his mojo. And then he got hurt, and so now he's fighting back. I watched him here in Houston practice, and he looked pretty strong. And I was, wondering, what the heck had happened. And I think a lot of times you get that major, and you say, okay, man, I can relax. And you relax, and these guys go right by you.
Right. Well, Dylan Fratelli was, you would have thought he won as many shots as we saw of him last week, right, at Augusta National. he shoot 10 over this week?
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe he partied a little bit too much. He got a lot of TV time, a lot of fun TV time for him. So good stuff. We got another segment around the corner right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. We're talking golf on a Saturday morning. Don't you go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. We're talking some golf here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. You know, there was a nice, I don't know, I want to call it a nice piece, but it was a piece about, and your thoughts on this, Bill, since you caddied for so long out there, that Dustin had his brother on the back. And one of the players, had, and the title of the story is From Dumb and Dumber to Masters Champ. One of the players said, you know, alluded to the fact of how dumb it is to have your brother on the bag. Yeah, and so it was like, you know, he was an anonymous. It wasn't nobody claimed it, but it was an anonymous quote. But you know, first of all, being with your brother, who was inexperienced at the time, but apparently now Dustin does trust him because he just was a sponge. He hung around Bones McKay, and he just couldn't get enough information. Experienced caddy, he just couldn't get enough of what to do and how to do it, and gets to get his own experience as well. And it's turned out pretty well. And I guess you would wouldn't you trust your brother a heck of a lot if he's on the bag, especially if you know that he knows what he's talking about.
That's
I read that article and it kind of bothered me a little bit. I met Austin when I was with Jay at the President's Cup. He's a wonderfully nice guy. Dustin's a really nice guy. The numbers don't lie in our sport, John, and they've had tremendous success together. And as Charlie knows, what is a good caddy? You know, that's a tough question to answer. And as you alluded to, trust is a big part of what makes a good caddy. And so the fact of the matter is, whatever they do together, it works. And so it's a results business. They've had tremendous results together. And he, no matter what happens during a round of golf, because I watch player and caddy reactions and stuff when I watch TV, he never, ever poo-poos. You know, if they're going bad, he still brings Austin in to re-putts and be a part of it. So my hat's off to him. Dustin Johnson is a number one player in the world, and his brother's his caddy. And so I'd have to say that they're working pretty good together. So I didn't like the title of that article, to be honest with you. I thought it was very condescending.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, you were close to a brother-brother team in Jay's sons, Bill and
speaking of which, how is Bill?
Yeah.
He had to withdraw
Bill's
this week.
COVID.
Yeah, he got the COVID.
Yeah.
So they were successful for a while and all that, but I think, finally the other...
They were successful for then. Well, they won the FedEx Cup together.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? So,
that ain't bad.
You know, I think for some reason in society, John, we like to take shots at number one, you know? Mm-hmm. And all I know is that these two kids that grew up 65 miles from Augusta, Georgia, won the Masters together, you know, and you saw the emotion on Dustin afterwards. I'm sure Austin was emotional, so I'm just happy for both of them. They both handled themselves very nicely, and I don't know. I thought when I read that title of the article, it just kind of didn't sit right with me, especially after that great achievement.
Well, Austin,
I know what they were trying to say, but
yeah, right. Austin got emotional right away. It took Dustin a little while, but he finally... I was wondering whether or not, because you never see him.
Yeah.
You never see him emotional. You never... You know, you were talking about, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, and we see John Rahm and throwing clubs. You just see Dustin with that walk, and it just doesn't seem like anything bothers him.
Well, it finally hit him when she was asking him some questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, like... Athletes after a big victory, you know, it takes them a couple of days to say, man, you know, but that moment, that was a great moment, that girl asking those questions and he just couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah,
great.
It was.
John, you're in that business. I thought she played that very well.
Yeah. Yes, she did.
I think she handled herself and came up with a comment of, I thought it was very good because it had to be spontaneous that, Bubba Watson made it okay to cry at Augusta. Something to that effect. Yeah. I thought that was, as an announcer and you're in that profession, because that had to come off the top of her head. She didn't, you know, you don't plan that. Well, I thought she handled that very well in making him feel comfortable being emotional.
She's pretty good, Amanda. She's good.
And she got some direction from who just retired, the executive producer, Lance Burrow.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of clued her off, said, okay, let's move on. But it was great.
That was good stuff.
Silence is gold.
You know, I find it funny. She's Amanda Baleonis is her name, and she, you know, Tiger goes in there, and he seems to be affable with her. I think the players trust her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, uh-huh.
And that's important. That's important
I
as well.
I think she's very good.
Yeah.
She's done a great job.
She's doing a very, very good job. So that is really good stuff. You know, we mentioned some of the guys, and let's talk about Tiger's finish. I mean, this is the only golf show in the world that doesn't talk about Tiger off the top. How about 5 out of 6 birdies to finish up this thing?
How about a 10?
How about a 10? But then 5 of 6 to finish to finish on Sunday. I mean, so is that a precursor for great things to come, or are we going to see, or is 10 going to be the norm? Which one is going to be?
I think that was one of the really cool moments in Tiger's career. I know it won't go down, but it said so much about him to follow a 10 and then play the last 6 and 5 under shows you a lot about who he is. And he came up with a great quote, and I don't think he got enough credit. He said, in golf, you can't bring in a substitute or bring in somebody from the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just you. And you have to be mentally strong and mentally tough, because they're not going to bring in another player, you know, to finish the round for you. So I thought that said a lot about him and who he is. And it's funny because I thought he hit a lot of good shots during the week. He just, for whatever reason, something's missing from the scoring aspect of golf. But every time I saw him, Charlie, he's such a wonderful iron player and he had a lot of good drives. So. I actually thought he was playing much better than he was scoring until the 10, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I did too. You know, the tee times and all that, a lot of golf, and, you know, that probably hurt him. But I thought it was really revealing listening to Ben Crenshaw on the radio, who is the master of ceremonies at the players' dinner. The winner's master's victory dinner, or whatever you want to call it. And he said Tiger really, really showed himself. He told everybody how much the tournament meant to him, how much, you know, his father relationship and his kids. And, you know, the fact of the matter is at 44, he's starting to mellow, you know, as he should, you know, and realize what he's done.
You know, it's kind of neat. He's playing with his son Charlie.
Yeah,
in the event that's going to be neat. But the 5 out of 6 immediately followed the 10. That was that is so crazy that it would happen. And he finished 1 under, and you wonder if, you know, that we see the magic is still there. He's not the same guy, obviously, but we see that the magic is still there, and it's only a year and a half away from winning. You know, last year's event. So it's interesting to see that maybe we haven't seen the last of Tiger.
It was kind of like watching Nolan Ryan at 44 pitch.
Right.
You know, I mean,
throw a no-hitter at 46, just like Jack winning at 46.
Exceptional athletes do exceptional things. Yep. And I must admit, early on in his career, I guess I was jealous of all the success he was having. But he's proven out to be a good guy.
Yeah.
I guess. I've never met him. So, Bill, I would say you were around him in his early career. Now to see him, what he's doing, it's probably pretty neat, isn't it?
Well, there were times when I was around him even early that we had some really nice conversations. So I had always seen the good side of Tiger. One-on-one, he's always been really nice to me and been, for whatever reasons, he appears to be comfortable around me. I don't know why, but he is. And so I've always seen a side of Tiger that that I liked a lot, you know. And I think we're starting to see that side of him come out more now, where he feels more comfortable maybe exposing himself a little bit to people and and all of those things. And he really has done a terrific job of kind of reinventing himself and being a little more thoughtful, and not everybody's his enemy and stuff. So I think he certainly portrays himself as more likable now than he's ever been. And I think it's great. To me, that's a personal comeback. I just like comebacks, you know, and he's come back quite a few times from the golf part of it, and he just seems happier. And you know, Lord knows, why would a guy like that not be happy, you know, with all he's achieved? And, you know, obviously could be the greatest player of all time, and it's debatable, but it's really between two people. So it's not going to take long to call Rory in that class.
Nope. And interesting, guys, the way Rory played after his start. There's another bounce back. You know, it was. I mean, he should never. Maybe he just put too much on himself. You know, and you could see that he wants it so bad. He's good enough, obviously, to win this thing. He had that lead there, and he let it slip away. Well, fell apart on him. But he is so good. You can't count him out from picking up a green jacket over these next couple of years.
I wish he'd have come to Houston the week before and played. And I think he'd have been better prepared than he was. I mean, I guess, Bill, I mean, there's different ways of looking at that play or not play before the week. But to see him open up like that and shot himself in the foot, I'm not sure why.
Well, plus he said he was playing terrific going into the tournament. You know, that was his own words. He was playing as well as he has in a long time, you know, which I'm assuming was when he was at home working on his game and stuff. And maybe he came in just a little bit too high, you know, and probably it's so hard to discipline yourself, because especially the first day the scores were, you know, really low. And he's out there struggling and hooking them in the water and stuff. It must have been very discouraging. So, John, once again, for him to suck it up, you know, in that half hour he had off between the first and second round, says a lot about him. I don't think we've heard the last of Rory McIlroy. I think he's in the midst of finding out who he is as a person and how that relates to being a professional golfer. And I think when he finally comes to whatever that peaceful place is, I think we'll see Rory's got more majors in him. He's just too talented, too gifted. I'm a big Rory fan. He's a really good guy. He's good for the game. So, and he's got the distance. So he doesn't seem to be losing much off his fastball. So I'd be very surprised if Rory doesn't continue to contend in major championships. And, you know, three or four more times in his life, it'll probably be his week.
Absolutely. Taking a break. 53 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. We'll wrap it up after this. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. We're just watching Charlie. Is that a Masters app?
Masters app, yes. Yeah. It's really, really, Bill, unbelievable how well they did it, where you could see a lot of swings and a lot of the course. It was really, you should get it. If you don't have it, get it. And it's active right now.
It's still, you're on there right now watching. Yeah. You can just watch different guys drive, different holes and stuff. Yeah. Anything you want.
Different stories. And, you know, wonderful. Neat, wonderful.
Neat stuff. Neat
they
stuff.
They do it right.
Oh, yeah, they do. They spare no expense.
They do it right.
There. Yep. Well,
I hope they get Christine Brennan's okay to do this stuff, you know.
Is that a Christine Brennan shot? I think that was a shot at Christine Brennan.
Well, I mean, all she ever does is come up with negative stuff, you know, about Augusta and Jack Nicklaus now. Nicklaus is her new one, you know, because he voted for Trump. So, therefore, he's a bad person.
Oh,
you know?
Gosh. Oh, my goodness.
I wonder who appointed her the moral compass for the world, you know?
Well,
I wasn't at that meeting. Were you at that meeting?
No, I didn't vote for her.
Were you at that meeting, John, where everything she said you have to follow?
Yeah.
I thought this was all about freedom of speech.
No. Huh? There ain't no freedom of speech. You can't say that you voted for Trump. Otherwise,
no,
you're canceled.
You have to think the way he thinks, you know?
You get canceled, okay? That's what you get. You're going to get canceled.
Canceled.
That's it. It's a cancel culture. Hey, you're absolutely right now. I'm looking. Robert Streb has got a two-stroke lead over Camilo Viegas. What kind of story would that be if he wins, huh?
Big time.
Yep.
Every player would really stand and applaud.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's such a nice guy anyway.
Yep.
And to have that horrible thing happen with his child, anyways, it would be great.
That would be tremendous. So that's a reason to watch this weekend, the RSM at Sea Island. Man, what a great time recapping the Masters this week, guys. And now we got the season. We just got a couple of tournaments left, and then we head to Christmas, and then we're going back to Hawaii, guys. So. We got the wraparound season coming your way. We're going to take next week off, so happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
That's right.
And we will be back in a couple of weeks here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Billy, have a happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate
I'll miss you, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you being kind to me
today. I'll have a lot of venom stored up.
Yeah. He'll have plenty. We're done. We appreciate it. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody.